We are still studying possessive, and we started to read, we got part way through Proverbs 8. Oh, let's start in verse 4 in Proverbs 8. Unto you, all men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O you simple, understand wisdom.
And you give us a minute here.
Do you use two hands?
Well, I could. We are in no hurry. You're reading in vain now.
I'm reading in vain.
Not in a hurry. Peaceful minute.
Okay.
Thank you for
it. Are you ready yet? Are you still talking? Proverbs 8, verse 5. O you simple, understand wisdom, and you fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things, for my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies. All the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and to the evil way. For the forward mouth do I hate. There's an interesting verse 13 where he says, and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. From God's perspective, there are only two ways, the way of the evil one, self-seeking, and the way of the bride, abandonment. So anything other than abandonment is the evil way. There's only one way, the path, the one path. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me. And those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before the works of old. Now, that concept that you have been possessed from before the beginning of the world, and it goes on, before the beginning of anything. This is what in 1 John, that's what the position of the Father is. I've been with him from the beginning. He has possessed my ways from the beginning of beginnings. And each one of us can say that. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there was no depth, I was brought forth. When there was no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the earth, of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that water should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, that I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights with the sons of men. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways, hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and he shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. And all they that hate me love death. To me, that's one of the most incredible chapters of the Bible. It takes you out of time, prayerfully out of time forever. You dwell no more upon the earth. No more deception. Any response? The Lord possessed me from the beginning, or before the beginning of beginnings.
That one sentence caught my ear, out of time forever. It's almost an oxymoron. Forever is exist out of time. It just is. I'm just playing with subtleties of words. But it's eternity is just a whole nother.
It's another world.
Another world.
All right. We're still studying possess. Let's go to Acts. We went there, Acts 4. Go to 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and of not charity, I am become as sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. The word goods there is the same word we're studying. All right, the last one, Hebrews 10. Let's start in 31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, but call to remembrance the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions, partly while you were made a gazing stock both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while you became companions of them that were so used. For you had compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and enduring substance. But again, it's this, you took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. It's the same word, your possessions. And again, that's what we were talking about yesterday, the idea that, well, let's go back real quick. Let's go to Acts 4. I'm going to put a coda on it. Start in verse 31. You are the slowest Bible verse finder in the whole community because you try to do it with one hand.
I notice Pete uses two.
Huh?
Pete uses two hands.
I know.
Why would you compare yourself to me?
Verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul, and neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles the witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and bought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet. And the distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joses, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land and sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. And that became Barnabas the apostle, but that was the cousin of Mark. Neither said any of them that whatever they possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Now Barnabas was of the group that, because of the Jubilee year, their whole family moved. I guess Mark's father and Barnabas' father were brothers, and they lived at Cyprus, and they were very wealthy. And they came because it was a Jubilee year, well, and because it was a 70th week in Daniel. They came, and they got all these land back that any of their relatives had sold or borrowed on or anything. And so all them, they are the ones that sold their houses and lands. And that's the money they laid at the apostles' feet. Because they believed the end was within their lifetime. And a few years later, in Rome, and the fire happened under Nero, the Christians didn't start it, but they were accused of starting the fire that burned Rome. But when they saw the burning, they went out joyfully and threw in all their goods and possessions into the fire because they thought it was the end that was predicted in 2 Peter. And they were accused then. There was a law became that they were accused of hating the human race. And that's when all hell broke loose in terms of the persecutions. Shortly after that, Peter and Paul were both killed. But the whole idea, can you imagine if you truly knew the end was coming, as they did, or they thought, then nothing else mattered. Let's look at a word in, let's go to 2 Peter. Chapter 3. Are you going to 2 Peter chapter 3?
Nice.
You left us for a moment.
No, I drifted off for a second.
Can you want to talk about where you went?
I don't know where I went.
You just went.
I went.
Verse 9, 2 Peter. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Now this is what Christians in Rome thought was happening. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Now the word hasting is a word that it's you cause the day of the Lord to come by your obedience. Just as Noah condemned the world by his obedience, so you bring about the end by your obedience. I mean, that just sounds so out of it, that's crazy if you say it. But Noah condemned the world by his obedience. That's what the word hasting there means. It should show single-minded that nothing else in the universe has any meaning, any breath. And that kind of zeal is what God is waiting for. Go to Hebrews, I think, 11. Verse 7. Let's read a few things. And let's start in verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were made of things which do not appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained a witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead, he yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. I mean, this is an incredible statement. By faith, he condemned the world. The world the whole thing couldn't happen until he, by his faith, finished what he had set before. What's set before you and I is this hasting, this zeal for one thing and one thing only. I pray that zeal becomes our byword. Any response?
Root word for zeal, it's the same as jealousy, right? Jealous for the mystery.
No, I don't know about that, but zeal is zeal. Gary, what's going on?
I wonder about Abel. You know, he's out there doing sheep and whatever. And it says by faith he offered to God a more excellent sacrifice. What happened in him?
He saw Christ.
In the sheep?
In the sheep. So that he became the model as opposed to Cain digging around in the dirt to find something to offer to God.
So the Holy Spirit had to reveal that to him. That
of course. Well, that's what when you look, you know, read the whole 11th chapter, that's what it's all about, is by faith. Well, let's do that. We got time. Let's. Again, in verse 7, by faith, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He looked for a city. He saw something. He saw the New Jerusalem.
So this same phenomena, Christ being in us, is by another Trinity.
But if there's repentance.
And it's Christ in us. If there's no Christ in us, there would not be repentance. So that's taken care of. He is.
But the repentance has to be constant. It can't be anything other than repentance. It's repentance is your death.
Can we ever get past that?
No. He is the only one past it.
Well, that's who our life is.
Well, that's why he gets past it. But there's, you know, I've been criticized ever since I started preaching. Well, why don't you talk about the other side of the cross? Well, the other side of the cross is God's business. Our business is to pick up the cross.
Well, there's something there that you picked up the cross.
It's him. It's he is there.
So that's what we talk about.
Well, you don't get there without dying. The power of God is the preaching of the cross.
There's something quirky here. Because dying is dying. So get there.
No, you don't. You get there by constant repentance.
So there is no dying because you have to repent all the time.
No, because the evil one resurrects himself from the deadly head wound at every opportunity. But it's constant, so that there is never again a thought that you will pay any attention to, or a feeling that you pay any attention to.
But Abel, sitting around, saw this vision, or Christ was
least all, let's go on. We're going to see them all. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country, that is, heavenly, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence he received him in a type, in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaving them leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, assaying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and of David also, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens of caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Hallelujah. I don't know how anyone reading that cannot have zeal. Amen?
What? I was looking at God having provided some better thing for us. They look forward to, we look back at, both see the same thing, but our seeing is different in the sense of, what they look forward to take place.
But the whole, the end is the dwelling in the New Jerusalem. That's what they, that's the whole point.
Is that the better thing?
That's the better thing.
That they didn't have.
They saw. They saw it, so they had it. It's what you see. It's what you, I mean, it's what you hear is what you see. What you see is what you do. It's the whole mystery of God, the New Jerusalem, the bride, everything.
Implications of that you have it. We do. There's a difference. That's what I'm looking at.
Well, I don't know that it's, I don't think it's any different. They see the same things we see.
And
Abraham saw his day when he was glad. We see his day, and we're, many of us, the world continues on in their own life.
Yeah, we even have them. They didn't have us, and yet without them,
it's both.
There's no
the perfection.
Yeah.
They could not be made perfect, because the perfect is the bride.
Is the bride, yeah.
So we are in the same position they are.
Shouldn't I go and say better then? They shouldn't be saying better. You know, it's like, I don't know what better means in this.
The same thing better that we see. We see a better thing than this life on earth. We see a better thing. We see the mystery of the bride. We see eternity. We see Olam. Because it's all things. We see Him. But we must see Him in everything.
I agree.
Amen? Josanna, anything to add? Take it, big guy.